All of our patrons will automatically qualify for our exclusive prize draw. At the end of the season, 8 of them will be randomly selected and written into one of the thrilling chapters of Season 5. To enter, click the link in our description and sign up as a patron today.
To many, cryptids are the most exciting and enticing form of urban legend. To some, they're not considered urban legends at all, believing with all their hearts that these beings are very real and living amongst us. In their simplest explanations, cryptids are animals that are widely believed to exist in the world of cryptozoology, but are considered nothing but a myth by science. Cryptozoology has many followers and many who believe in its legitimacy. However, outside of this group, it is widely accepted as nothing but a pseudoscience that does not apply true scientific study, focusing more on anecdotal evidence rather than following the established scientific method that biologists use so often to identify new species. There are many out there who still follow the apparent discoveries of cryptozoology, and there is no denying, whether you believe in the discoveries or not, you will know of the creatures they cover, whether they be Mothman, the Loch Ness Monster, or the Yeti. The list of supposed cryptids is long and various, but none have become as infamously talked about as the one we are here to discuss. A man-like creature that blurs the lines between what is folklore and what is reality. My name is Luke Mordew, and this urban legend is Bigfoot. In 2020, a group of scientists discovered a new species of primate that lived in the forest of central Myanmar. This little creature, with a mask-like face surrounded by grey fur, was named Popolangor after the extinct volcano where their largest population resides. Although, this new discovery is already considered extremely endangered. The huge beasts that are mountain gorillas were not discovered until 1847, when a skull was found, collected, and identified, only to have their existence officially confirmed in the 1850s. In 2022, a 20-centimeter long species of slug was discovered, and in 2021, a new species of colorful lizard was found. Many recent discoveries tend to be previously undiscovered branches of animals we already know of in the world, with many more being insects or microscopic beings. However, there are consistently previously unknown creatures popping up all around the world. With these surprising discoveries being made so frequently, even today, and with so many more yet to come, it is easy to see why so many still hold on to the belief that the legend of Bigfoot could, in fact, be true. There is not a scientist in the world that would claim that there is nothing left to discover out there. This leaves the door slightly ajar for new things to slip inside, new ideas and beliefs, leaving the possibility open that the creatures we hear of through folktales could, in fact, be real. In my telling of an encounter with Bigfoot, we will follow Gavin and Phil, two men on a hunting trip in the forest of Northern California. The leaves had already begun to morph and mutate from their usual greens to the ambers and browns that would inevitably invade the forest over the coming months, with specks of the trees above already indicating what was to come. The air was still, with the leaves above barely making a sound. All that could be heard was the gentle stream of a nearby river and the quiet footsteps of a deer grazing ahead. Gavin and Phil were standing together, gripping their guns in their hands as they ever so slightly headed towards the deer in their sights, gently placing their feet on the ground with every footstep. Gavin lifted his hand to signal for them to stop moving before raising the gun into position, his eyes peering through the sight of the deer ahead. He took a deep breath, his fingers resting on the trigger. "You got this," Phil whispered, giving him a reassuring nod. Gavin watched the deer as it rummaged its nose through the leaves on the ground, sniffing out any food it could forage. He focused the sights on the animal's skull, ready to go. But before he could shoot, the deer lifted its head, looking around as if it had heard them. Gavin sighed and refocused on the animal that could seemingly sense it was being hunted. Although none of them realized that these two men were not the only ones hunting in these woods. In a sudden flash of dark brown hair, the deer suddenly slammed to the ground, and with a shriek, it was dragged into the greenery of the forest with a ferocious speed. Gavin lifted his head from his gun, staring ahead of him with shock. Phil remained still, watching him curiously, confused by what had just happened and why Gavin was looking the way he did. "Was that a bear?" Phil asked, stepping back as if subconsciously already preparing to get out of there. Gavin shook his head, a million thoughts racing through his mind. "I don't think that was a bear," he replied in a whisper. Phil studied Gavin for a moment, noticing his trembling hands and pale face. With this, he gripped his gun tighter, lifting it up and pointing it ahead as he began to make his way forward. "What are you doing?" Gavin whispered, putting his hand out to stop him. Phil didn't respond, stepping forward once more to get a closer look at where the deer once stood. Gavin sighed, looking around him nervously, terrified to edge closer, but nervous about staying alone. And so he followed. They continued through the shrubbery, and whilst Phil kept his eyes focused on the area ahead of them, Gavin's eyes shot around the trees, scanning for any movement that may occur. Once they had finally reached the opening to where the deer was standing, Phil pulled back the branches of a low-hanging tree, revealing the deer's corpse, which now lay dead on the ground amongst the long grass. They studied it in confused horror as Phil stepped closer to get a better look. Gavin, on the other hand, stepped back, already regretting following Phil's path. There was something wrong with how this deer was lying. It was so unfamiliar and confusing that the men felt an instant turn of discomfort. They prided themselves in how much they knew about animals, what to look out for, what to expect, what sign of their presence may be. Although, this didn't fit any of their current understanding. The deer was fully intact. There were no bite marks or wounds. Instead, its head had been completely rotated, breaking its neck. "A bear doesn't do this," Phil whispered as he kneeled beside the animal, placing his hand on its still warm body. Gavin took another step back, his eyes scanning through the trees around them, desperate to get out of there, still gripping his gun with his shaking hands. He stumbled slightly, nearly tripping over a slight indent in the soft ground below. He looked down to gather his footing, but instead found that his boot was standing in the marking of a freshly made footprint, which was noticeably human-like in shape. Only, it was far larger than his boot, which looked tiny in comparison. "Why kill your food and then leave it?" Phil asked as he slowly got to his feet, still studying the deer. Gavin surveyed the fresh footprint surrounding them, his breath shortening with every intake, as he heard the faint sounds of heavy footsteps ahead, growing louder and deeper by the second. He watched the bushes behind Phil begin to twist and shake as he replied, "I don't think it's been left." Phil turned his head, stepping back to join Gavin as they both prepared their guns to shoot. And with that, the green ahead split open to reveal a huge, 7-foot, lumbering creature stepping out into the open. Brown hair covered its thick and long arms and legs. The skin on its feet was dark and dense, and its eyes were large and black, with ferocious, sharp-looking teeth under its thick lips. The beast froze for a moment, with its strangely human-like face seemingly just as surprised to see them as they were to see it. This moment of silent shock did not last for long, as the beast suddenly leaned forward, screaming at the top of its lungs. It was a wide, deep growl, mixing with a high-pitched screech, creating a call the men had never heard in the natural world. It echoed through the trees with force, ringing in the men's ears as it spread for miles around them. Phil stumbled back, instinctually lifting his sight to his eye, taking aim at the beastly creature ahead of them. "Wait!" Gavin hissed, desperately trying to keep calm, keeping his eyes fixated on the being. To him, this creature was merely scaring them away, warning them to keep back and leave. If it wanted to hurt them, it would have done so by now. The beast stood tall, staring down at them with fury burning in its eyes, angered by their sudden appearance in its habitat, as well as the proximity to its new kill. It stamped its feet hard into the ground, causing a vibration to flow through the men before it swung its thick arms at a tree beside it, instantly uprooting its bark and ripping it out of the ground. And with the trees crashed to the floor, came more heavy footsteps, this time from behind. The two men turned to see a second creature had arrived, seemingly answering the call the first had made. Gavin turned side onto them, watching both lumbering creatures that glared at the two human intruders with rageful eyes. They were three times the size of the men and had them surrounded. If they wanted them dead, they would be dead. With this in mind, he began to step back, slowly edging to the thick trees where he could finally turn and escape. Phil, on the other hand, had begun to panic, still holding his gun up, ready to shoot, now spinning back and forth to both creatures as his racing mind struggled to pick a plan. "Back away," Gavin hissed, trying to talk as quietly as possible as he finally passed the trees, pushing his body through the bushes. Instead, Phil grew more panicked by the fact he was now alone, too afraid to lower his gun, unable to lower his guard enough to even consider walking away. "Back away," Gavin hissed again. "If I do that, they'll kill us both," Phil responded in a panic manner. "If you don't, they'll kill us," Gavin replied, with frustration growing alongside his fear. Finally, Phil acknowledged that perhaps Gavin was right and began stepping back. Although now, with every step he took, the beasts would take a step forward, slowly closing in on them. To Gavin, they were ensuring that the intruders were leaving. Although to Phil, this was a sign that the moment he turned his back, he was going to be attacked. It was not in his nature to back down, to turn and run. He always prided himself in the ability to stand and fight against all odds, a ridiculous sentiment considering the situation. With this justification in his panicked mind, Phil decided to lift his sight to his eye and pull the trigger, shooting one of the beasts in its thick fur. Gavin didn't hesitate. The moment the gun had fired, he knew that the game was over and it was too late. All he could do was turn and try to escape, which is precisely what he did. He ran as fast as he could, pacing through the trees, unable to look back, simply hoping that Phil had done the same. Unfortunately, he had not. Instead, he prepared to fire again as the two creatures released their ferocious screams, charging at him with intense force. Once Gavin had reached a fair distance, he quickly turned his head to look back, and to his horror, he witnessed as one of the creatures lunged forward, grabbing Phil by the torso and lifting him above its head. Phil screamed in fright as the beast held Phil like he weighed nothing more than a few pounds. The creature looked up at Phil's screaming face and roared back at him with anger, before slamming him down into the ground with an echoing thud. The moment his body hit the floor, his terrified screams for help were silenced, dropping the forest into an unsuspecting peaceful ambience once more. Gavin watched in horror as the beast leaned down and grabbed its new victim by the foot. It turned and walked away, disappearing into the darkness of the thick forest ahead, dragging Phil's broken corpse with it. Still, as this happened, The second beast stepped forward, staring at Gavin as if contemplating whether to make chase. Gavin didn't wait to discover its decision, instantly turning and running as fast as he could to escape the ferocious creatures, hoping that the fact he was fleeing would prove that he was no threat, so that it left him alone. His breath was weak, and his heart was pounding. He could hear nothing but the blood pumping through his entire body as he charged through the trees as fast as he could, only mixing with the loud, bellowing screeches of the beasts that he had left behind. This is a creature that goes by many names, most commonly known by its loving nickname of Bigfoot, over the also very popular Sasquatch title. The notion of a tall, hair-covered, ape-like humanoid creature living in the wilderness is not exclusive to the woods of North America, although it is here that the moniker of Bigfoot has stuck. Stories of the creature have solidified themselves amongst North America and Canadian folklore, growing to become what is most likely the biggest urban legend in the world. With tales of the Loch Ness Monster, Mothman, and the Wendigo consistently told worldwide, Bigfoot is the king of cryptids. What's most compelling about this urban legend, beyond how prominent it is in society, is how many people believe in its existence and how many claim to have witnessed the creature, with sightings documented in tens of thousands over the years. It is almost always described the same way, with the image of Bigfoot being clear in most minds. It has been described as being very large and muscular, between 6 to 9 feet tall. Some reports suggest it has dark red hair, others suggest dark brown or black hair, which often opens up the suggestion that there is more than one of these creatures living in the woodland. Its face is often considered to be strangely human-like, although with a flatter nose. Its eyes are usually described as brown, although they are also known to glow yellow or red at night. Although some suggest that these are mistaken sightings of owls, raccoons, or something else with reflective eyes. Another interesting aspect of these creatures is just how many sightings report their smell, claiming that their odor is similar to rotten eggs, taking their foul stench wherever they go. It was in 1958 that journalist Andrew Genzoli wrote a story in the Humboldt Times, highlighting a somewhat silly letter from a reader that mentioned the reported sightings of large footprints by Northern California loggers. Footprints that were supposedly a massive 16 inches long. In his column, he jokingly wrote, "Maybe we have a relative of the abominable snowman of the Himalayas." The letter was sent by Jerry Crew, a logging company bulldozer operator in Humboldt County that reportedly discovered the large set of footprints. Along with this came more stories from him and his co-workers, with claims of similar tracks being found and oil drums weighing up to 450 pounds being moved without any logical explanation. Along with this came more stories from him and his co-workers, with claims of similar tracks being found and oil drums weighing up to 450 pounds being moved without any logical explanation. It is said that Jerry, at first, believed this to be nothing but a prank on the team, but once he had found more evidence, he decided it was time to contact Andrew at the Humboldt Times to be further investigated. To Andrew Genzoli, this was supposed to be nothing more than a good Sunday morning story. However, to his surprise, the story of giant footprints captured his readers' imaginations, and their fascination began to grow. In response to this, Andrew joined forces with another journalist at the paper named Betty Allen. Together, they began publishing follow-up articles about the footprints, and it was here that the name the loggers had given the creature leaving the tracks was first written: Bigfoot. And with this, one of the biggest legends today had begun. From here, believers had begun to piece together comments, diary entries, stories, and legends from the past, connecting dots between them to fully understand just how far back the stories of these creatures go. Whilst to non-believers, people were simply combining different elements of folklore, forcing them to merge into one big account, fitting together the pieces that worked and ignoring the parts that didn't. Either way, the story of Bigfoot had evolved from a news article to a vast history of myths and legends, eventually becoming something to study in cryptozoology. Cryptids are often considered any animal or creature that has never been described by science in any real way, commonly teetering on the edge of what is expected to be possible in science and evolution. This has often been documented through word of mouth and folklore, although not proven accurate by scientific limits. Even so, those who follow cryptozoology still consider cryptids something worth looking into. I use the term pseudoscience when discussing cryptozoology, not out of disrespect, but out of the literal understanding of what something that claims to be scientific, whilst ignoring legitimate scientific technique, is considered to be. These investigations have led to many footprints in similar shapes and sizes within the area, some growing as long as 24 inches and as broad as 8. However, these are consistently understood as hoaxes or misidentifications, with claims that the ones that seemingly have claws are far more likely to be the prints of a bear. Of course, the rebuttal to that could be that the men out in these woods would surely be able to recognize bear tracks if they found them. But then, there is always the denial we can find ourselves in when we desperately are looking for answers. Not to mention the people who purposely misidentify or manipulate a setting to create a buzz and receive their 15 minutes of fame. It is worth noting, after all, that most Bigfoot sightings are located within the Pacific Northwest, where the footprints were originally found. Even amongst many true believers and researchers of Bigfoot, the majority of evidence is considered to be nothing but hoaxes. This becomes all the more evident when we learn of the supposed truth regarding those original prints. It was in 2002 that the children of Ray Wallace, a man working alongside Jerry Crew when the original footprints were found, came forward. They claimed that their father had secretly carved large wooden feet and made the prints as a little prank, one that he did not expect to explode across the world as it did. Fascinatingly, in 2019, the FBI released a 4-decade-old file dedicated to a Bigfoot inquiry that began in 1976. Peter Byrne, the director of the Bigfoot Information Center and Exhibition in Dallas, Oregon, sent the FBI 15 strands of hair attached to a small piece of skin. The organization had found this in the wild, but could not identify the animal it would have belonged to.
To help shorten that gap,
he was hoping that the FBI could assist him in clarifying what it was, whilst also questioning if they had ever analysed Bigfoot hair before. Luckily for Peter, Jay Cochran Jr., assistant director of the FBI Scientific and Technical Services Division, wrote back, letting him know that he could find no evidence of the FBI analysing any hairs for a potential Bigfoot in the past, specifying that they usually only examined physical evidence related to criminal investigations. He added that, although this may be the case, they had been known to occasionally make exceptions in the interest of research and scientific inquiry. An exception he was willing to make on this occasion. Unfortunately for any Bigfoot believers out there hoping for solid evidence, the DNA results came back with the conclusion that the hair was of deer family origin and was by no means a piece of a Bigfoot. This, for me, is a nice little story of the FBI going out of its way to use its resources to help someone's curiosity. Still, of course, when the files were declassified in 2019, all that many of us heard was that the FBI had a file on the existence of Bigfoot. The 70s was a time when the belief in Bigfoot was far more prominent than it is today, with many excited by the buzz of the recently discovered creature. This belief and excitement skyrocketed in 1967 when two men named Bob Gimlin and Roger Patterson reportedly rode alongside Bluff Creek, a tributary of the Klamath River, northwest of Orleans, California. It is claimed that during this journey, they spotted a Bigfoot creature standing close by. Luckily, Robert Gimlin happened to be filming with his 16mm Cine Kodak camera and was able to catch the animal on camera. The grainy, shaky footage captured a tall, ape-like creature standing upright, walking away from the men. To this day, this piece of evidence is marked as one of the most heavily analyzed pieces of film in American history. Many believe it to be compelling evidence, whilst many others consider it an obvious hoax, a set-up scene with a man in a costume waiting in the distance. Regardless of which is true, the video has become world famous, with most of us around the globe able to picture in our minds a still image from the footage at the very least. It has been spoofed and mimicked in the arts ever since, emphasizing just how ingrained in our society it's become. There are many out there today who still argue for the validity of this video, with the main arguments being the movements of the supposed muscle groups in the creature. With modern technology, the shaky footage has been successfully stabilized, allowing people to fully focus on the creature's movements, studying its body in full without distractions. Many came to the conclusion that no costume could mimic the movements of those muscle groups as realistically as it was, especially back in the 1960s, when the highest quality costumes were along the lines of the original Planet of the Apes. Others suggest that people are simply seeing what they want to see, and that it is quite clearly a tall man in a costume. It is worth noting that this was not a chance encounter between the two men and the creature, as they were actively trying to gather investment for a documentary on the creature during this time. They were venturing down to Bluff Creek after hearing reports of sightings in the area, alongside footprints and other signs of the creature's existence. What's also interesting about this is that several people have come forward claiming to be the person in the suit, although all this has done is muddled the validity and believability of any of their claims, leaving the doors open for interpretation even wider than before. Since this video's original release, Bigfoot sightings have skyrocketed, with the cryptid becoming a prominent part of society, a celebrity of folklore and superstition. It is commonly referred to as the Sasquatch in Canada and North America. However, this is interchangeable with Bigfoot, although in certain regions, the creature goes by different, more specific names, such as the skunk ape of Florida and other southern states. There is also the Grassman in Ohio, the Wood Booger of Virginia, and the Mongolian Monster in Arizona, the Big Muddy Monster in southern Illinois, and many more up and down the continent. To some, these are all separate creatures. To others, they are Sasquatch by different names. However, some also claim that they are perhaps similar species, yet different, under the same evolutionary umbrella, much like our ape cousins and us.
If you've been listening to my show for some time now, you'll have most likely noticed that there's large gaps between seasons. I often receive comments, messages, and emails from listeners requesting our return, and I do sincerely wish that these gaps could be shorter. You see, when delving into the captivating tales of folklore and urban legends, there's a lot to uncover, and it's extremely important to me that we maintain our standard of accuracy. But this takes time. I create this content and release it for free, and this won't change, but the show does require support. So if you love what we do and you want to be part of Urban Legend's continued expansion, then you can join us over at Patreon by following the link in our show notes. Through Patreon, you can spare as little as £3 a month to support the show and ensure its longevity. As a Patreon supporter, you'll receive each new chapter the Friday before its official release date every week, giving you early access. On top of this, there'll be no ads, and you'll also receive a private podcast feed just for you. You'll also receive a discount code for all of our upcoming merchandise and have access to behind-the-scenes looks into our progress. You'll also have access to our group chat on the Patreon app, where you can talk to myself and others about all things folklore. And to show my gratitude, I'll personally thank each of you at the end of every chapter. The minimum cost of a subscription is less than a cup of coffee. However, I'm running this through a honor system, giving you the opportunity to give more if you wish and are able to do so. So please do give what you can. If you can't do that, or if you want to know what more you can do, then please do leave us a rating on Spotify, a review on Apple Podcast, or anywhere else you listen to our show. The more we grow, the faster these turnarounds will be. You can find out more and join us by following the Patreon link in our show notes and clicking join. So come with us and let's uncover the mysteries of urban legends together. But for now, back to the legend.
Researchers have claimed that Bigfoot use rock throwing as a territorial display to communicate with one another. They have been known to knock on wood loudly, and the sounds echoing through the trees are also understood to be a form of communication. Although, even when writing this, I am aware that this opens up any familiar knock or bang in the woods to be associated with the cryptid species and is easily misinterpreted and faked. There have been accounts of broken and twisted structures made from natural elements being found in the woods, as well as trees being ripped from the ground, bent, and morphed into a pattern. There have even been claims of deer skeletons being found hanging from trees as both a warning and a statement of their territory. Although not all descriptions of Bigfoots nearby have been attributed to mere knocks and markings. Many have heard the creatures themselves through howls, screams, and moans in the distance as they vocalize to one another. This has even been recorded on more than one occasion. To believers, this is a loaded gun, with many claiming that it would be impossible to fake such a thing. Although, as somebody that works in the film industry, I'd take that statement with a pinch of salt. Others dismiss the sound as outright hoaxes or misidentifications of an owl, fox, wolf, or coyote, mainly because so many Bigfoot interactions happen at night. This has led some investigators to conclude that the creature may be, at least partly, nocturnal. Although, that goes against all of what science understands regarding ape-like beings, as usually, it is only the lesser cognitive primates that exhibit nocturnal behavior. Science also questions their ability to live in the woods suitably, as they would be fighting off large predators such as bears. Not to mention climate change and the ever-expanding towns and cities of humanity. They also question why there have never been any signs of bones or corpses left behind by the creatures, leading believers to the conclusion that they must bury their dead, similar to human beings. They claim that, like humans, the animals most likely have an omnivorous diet and are far more opportunistic with their food. Some accounts suggest that they are known to eat berries, roots, nuts, fruit, fish, and small animals on a typical day, explaining why there is so little trail of destruction in their paths. However, many Bigfoot enthusiasts believe that the creatures are also known to eat larger prey on occasions, such as deer or elk, with some claiming that Bigfoot has even been known to steal livestock for food. Some have even reportedly even gone as far as to leave out food as gifts for Bigfoot, and have returned to find rocks and twigs in their place as a somewhat thank you from the beasts. However, even many believers find this a bit too cute of an idea, and it is often claimed that this notion is either a hoax or an outright lie. In 2013, an organization called ZooBank caused a bit of a stir when they approved a registration request for Homo sapien cognatus subspecies as Bigfoot's official scientific name. ZooBank is an open access website intended to be the official international commission that zoologists generally trust to assign species names, with this one's cognatus referring to the Latin term related by blood. This was a win for the believers and a shock to the skeptics, although it is once again worth pointing out that there is a bit more nuance at play here. The International Commission on Zoological Nomenclature, more commonly known as ICZN, made a statement saying that ZooBank and the ICZN do not review evidence for the legitimacy of organisms to which the names are applied. This is outside our mandate and is really the job of the relevant taxonomic biological community to do that. When HS cognatus was first registered, needless to say, we received a lot of inquiry about it. We scrutinized the original description and registration of this name as best as we could. And as far as we can determine, all the requirements were fulfilled for establishing the new name. Thus, at the moment, we have no grounds to reject the scientific name. This says nothing about the legitimacy of the taxon concept. It's just about where the name was established according to the rules. Most scientists consider the notion of Bigfoot daft, and due to this, there have been very few scientific studies on the subject. The consensus is that Bigfoot's existence, although fantastical and fun, is not logical. A long-living species such as this would require a substantial number of them to exist, spreading over a vast plot of land where they can live, forage for food, thrive, and exist, all the while consistently and constantly covering their tracks as to ensure there is no evidence they were ever there. Even some famous names in the science community have spoken up about their belief in Bigfoot. In 2002, primatologist Jane Goodall was asked about her personal opinion on the existence of Bigfoot on National Public Radio's Science Friday, and she replied, "Well, now you'll be amazed when I tell you that I'm sure that they exist." She later chuckled and added, "I'm a romantic, so I always wanted them to exist." Before she thought a little more and added, "You know, why isn't there a body? I can't answer that, and maybe they don't exist, but I want them to." 10 years later, in 2012, she was asked the question again and replied similarly, although this time more thoughtfully, with, "I'm fascinated and would actually love them to exist," before adding, "Of course, it's strange that there has never been a single authentic hide or hair of the Bigfoot, but I've read all the accounts." Even the British National Treasure David Attenborough rocked a few boats when he claimed that the Yeti might very well be real. This may be a separate cryptid and one we will cover in another chapter, but still, the comparisons were close enough that many saw this as an understanding that even the greats hold faith in any cryptid's authenticity. In 1973, scientist John Napier conducted a legitimate scientific study into the existence of Bigfoot, releasing his findings in the book Bigfoot, The Yeti and the Sasquatch in Myth and Reality. In this book, he wrote that if a conclusion was to be reached based on their evidence, science must declare that Bigfoot does not exist. However, he also admitted to finding it difficult to dismiss the claims of thousands of alleged tracks scattered over 125,000 square miles. He concluded with the ominous, "I am convinced that Sasquatch exists. But whether it is all it's cracked up to be is another matter altogether. There must be something in Northwest America that needs explaining. And that something leaves man-like footprints. Many Bigfoot believers point to a vast history of tales to corroborate their beliefs in the modern Sasquatch, with some compelling and fascinating connections able to be made. The earliest surviving mention of a wild man is the Enkidu from the book Epic of Gilgamesh, written thousands of years ago between 2100 and 1200 BC. In this story, Enkidu is described as an uncivilized savage raised by animals, a juxtaposition with Gilgamesh's cultured ways. In Greek and Roman mythology, the satyr and faun are considered wild men associated with fertility, nature, and the wild. Many historians believe these figures and those like them are rooted in the ancient legends of Neolithic cultures, often pointing to the Slavic creature known as the Leshy, a short, humanoid creature known to have a bushy beard and a tail, understood to be a forest guardian. By the medieval period, the wild man was firmly rooted in the folklore of Europe. He was often depicted in various art forms, whether paintings, statues, carvings, embroideries, and even stained glass. In the 14th century, the term woodwose came to fruition to describe the beast. Members of the Lummi, a Native American tribe, tell tales of Tessamaquess, their local version of Bigfoot. Although within this are varying differences in both diet and behavior, the Haudenosaunee people have also shared stories of hair-covered giants with rock-hard skin and an aggressive temperament by the name of Otniyahir, translating as stone giant. However, in modern day, it is known as Jinoskwa. In 1840, Reverend Elkanah Walker, a Protestant missionary, recorded stories of giants amongst the natives that live near Spokane, Washington, writing in his diary, "Bear with me if I trouble you with a little of their superstitions. They believe in a race of giants inhabiting a mountain off of the west of us. This mountain is covered with perpetual snow. They, the creatures, inhabit the snow peaks. They hunt and do all their work at night. They are men stealers. They come to the people's lodges at night when they are asleep and take them under their skins and to their place of abode without even waking. Their track is a foot and a half long. They steal salmon from the Indian nets and eat them raw as the bears do. If the people are awake, they always know when they are coming very near by their strong smell that is most intolerable. It is not uncommon for them to go in the night and give three whistles, and then the stones will begin to hit their houses." In the summer of 1924, the Oregon-based newspaper, The Oregonian, ran the story of a group of gold prospectors who claimed to have been attacked by 7-foot-tall, ape-like creatures attacking them with rocks and boulders. The miners, named Fred Beck, Gabe Lefever, John Peterson, Marion Smith, and Roy Smith, all described stumbling across what they called gorilla men near where they had built a small cabin. It was claimed that they were 8 miles from Spirit Lake when they first encountered 4 of the giant animals who walked on 2 feet like humans. However, they were also described as having ears that stick straight up, 4 toes, and long black hair covering their entire bodies. With the witnesses estimating that the creatures must have weighed around 400 pounds each. They claimed that the sight of them startled the men, but this fright led them to instantly turn to violence. Fred reportedly fired his rifle at one of the creatures before striking it several times until it toppled off the edge of a cliff. It is said that later that night, the men were awakened by huge stones thudding against the side of their cabin before the eventual slams of the creatures trying to get inside, out for revenge. The attack continued through the night, with Fred being reported as being knocked unconscious for a couple of hours. But once the sun had risen, the ape-like creatures dispersed, allowing the men to sneak out and race back to civilization. When the story was run, it wasn't the first time ape-like wild men had been described in the area, with many of the stories from history still being passed around as folklore. But this time, the story stuck to the pages of history with a far greater grip than many of those that had come before it, even resulting in the area being officially named Ape Canyon. These are but a few of many stories regarding the supposed wild men of the forests, with tales similar to Bigfoot living amongst societies around the world for thousands of years, reminding us that, although the story of Bigfoot began in the 1950s, its origins date far beyond what can be studied. The eventual name it would receive in Bigfoot would come much later, and was also not explicitly created for the cryptid, with stories dating as far back as the 1830s. There are references to a Wyandot chief being known as Bigfoot due to his enormous size and strength. The name Bigfoot had even been given to a couple of notably giant bears discussed in articles between the 19th and early 20th century. It was a playful, affectionate nickname for someone or something large and powerful, and it seems the placing of this onto the Sasquatch is very much the same. Even the once president of the USA, Theodore Roosevelt, has found himself amongst the lore of Bigfoot, writing in his 1893 book, The Wilderness Hunter, about a story that he had been told by an older man who lived in the mountains named Borman. The story told of a foul-smelling, bipedal creature that ransacked his camp and seemingly stalked him near the Idaho-Montana border. Eventually, the beast is said to have grown hostile, breaking the hunter's companion's neck. Although, it is worth noting that even Roosevelt himself stated that it was likely that the trapper's folkloric German ancestry had potentially influenced the story. With these stories of folklore and historical accounts throughout time, there seems to be a clear pattern of humanity stumbling onto the grounds of these large, mysterious creatures. It seems almost too coincidental to be nothing more than a fluke, too familiar for them to be nothing but urban legends. Although ecologist Robert Pyle argues against this, he reminds us that most cultures have accounts of human-like giants in their past folklore, and that this is extremely common across the board due to human beings often needing some larger-than-life creatures. Skeptics explain why the legend of Bigfoot has continued for so long, with many claiming it is primarily a mixture of hoaxes, hyperbole, and wishful thinking. Others have tried to explain it away a little more precisely, such as the theory that people have witnessed chimpanzees or gorillas that may have escaped captivity, although this feels almost as unbelievable as the notion of Bigfoot itself. That said, this theory does hold a more robust scientific standing when connected to the skunk ape of the southeastern USA, as the humid and hot climate would at least suit the animal's needs. The most realistic case of mistaken identity is that of black bears, who have been recorded and observed to walk upright, usually when injured or in pain. There has even been an apparent sighting of a young Bigfoot caught on camera in recent years, although this also has been dismissed by the Pennsylvania Game Commission as nothing but a skinny bear. If I were to cover every apparent sighting of Bigfoot, this chapter would be never-ending. As previously mentioned, the sightings and stories of this legend are in their tens of thousands, varying from compelling to downright ridiculous. Some genuinely believe in the encounters they experienced. Some want to get in on the legend's excitement, and others just like the idea of his existence. I love the concept behind Bigfoot, and out of the strange and supernatural legends I cover, this is one of the more plausible. Although, through my research, I'm unconvinced that it is anything but a traditional legend that is reshaped and morphed over time like many urban legends before it. With all the hunters out there and the hundreds of documentaries, drones, cameras, and equipment available, there would be some form of concrete evidence beyond blurred images and vague prints. To many, the idea of Bigfoot is an exciting folktale, something that's fun to talk about, although they do not believe it to be a legitimate creature. Although most out there do not believe it to be real, it is worth noting that a 2020 poll suggests that 1 in 10 Americans believe in the existence of Bigfoot. That is a significant amount of people that is hard to ignore. Although the strength in which these beliefs are held do vary. As said, some simply like the idea, whilst others take the belief so seriously that it has even caused a bit of trouble over time. In 2013, a 21-year-old man was arrested in Oklahoma after he confessed to accidentally shooting his friend in the back whilst on the hunt for a Bigfoot. In 2017, a shamanist wearing animal furs was taking a holiday in a North Carolina forest, causing a flood of Bigfoot sightings to be reported. This led to the Greenville Police Department to quickly issue a public notice not to shoot at it, fearing that a man could accidentally be killed. Even when it comes to hoaxes, there have been so many over the years that to list them all would take far too long. However, one more notable was in 1968, when the frozen corpse of an apparent hair-covered humanoid being was taken on tour around the USA as part of a traveling exhibition. The creature, known as the Minnesota Iceman, was studied by primatologist John R. Napier and concluded to be nothing but a latex hoax. Although, even with this, some still dispute those claims. To this day, the Minnesota Iceman is available to be seen as it is displayed at the Museum of the Weird in Austin, Texas. In 2008, Rick Dyer and Matthew Witten posted a video on YouTube claiming to have discovered the body of a dead Bigfoot. This story was covered by several major news channels, such as BBC, CNN, ABC News, and Fox News. A press conference was even held, although, once testing had begun, it became clear very quickly that this was, in fact, another rubber suit. Eventually, the two men would admit that it was nothing but a hoax. 6 years later, in 2014, Rick Dyer would return, this time alone, claiming that this time he had killed a Bigfoot and had scientific tests performed on the corpse. He said, "From DNA tests to 3D optical and body scans, it is the real deal. It's Bigfoot, and Bigfoot's here, and I shot it, and now I'm proving it to the world." He would later share videos of a chosen few reacting to seeing it to build up the buzz of a tour he was preparing to make. Although he never released any of the supposed scans or tests that authenticated the being. Once he had toured with it, racking in approximately $60,000, he finally admitted that the Bigfoot body was nothing but another hoax. It seems that the most robust cases for the existence of Bigfoot are eyewitness testimonies, which are problematic for several reasons. Firstly, there are those that straight up lie, which is most common in tales such as these. Then, there is the case of pareidolia, a phenomenon that comes up often in my explanations, where our minds seek and find patterns in things that are not truly there, an evolutionary trait to find predators that may be hiding in the wild. Then, there is also the case of how weak human memory is. There is a reason police ask for accounts quickly after an event. And there is a reason eyewitness testimony is taken with a pinch of salt in the court of law. Scientific study has proven time and time again that our emotions and desires morph into our memories and plant new things into them to justify our preconceived notions. What could have been initially a mysterious shadowy figure could easily slowly take shape to have hair, a face, and even eyes as the tale expands in our minds. That said, Bigfoot enthusiasts Grover Krantz and Jeffrey H. Bourne believe that Bigfoot could be a genus of the extinct southeastern Asian ape species, Gigantopithecus. This was a creature that existed between 2 million and 350,000 years ago. This was a being once argued to be a hominin, a member of the human branch of evolution. However, it is now widely understood to be closely allied to the orangutans, classified in the subfamily Engine. It is understood to have looked like a vast gorilla-like ape, realistically ranging between 400 to 600 pounds in weight. Although, due to how scarce the remains are, it is hard to confirm the monstrous creature's exact size. This creature has been closely associated with Bigfoot over the years, with many suggesting that the Sasquatch and the Yeti are merely ancestors of the beast. However, in science, it is understood that the creatures went extinct around 300,000 years ago, likely due to a retreat in their habitats due to natural climate change and potential early human activity. The belief in Bigfoot ranged from the more grounded to the more fantastical. Some even suggest that Bigfoot is a paranormal being with psychic abilities. Others connect it to extraterrestrials, and some even suggest that, much like Mothman, Bigfoot can step between dimensions at will. There are several organizations whose sole purpose is to research and investigate Bigfoot sightings in the USA. Several museums are also dedicated to the mythological creature, with various levels of seriousness taken. Thousands of people attend Bigfoot conferences and festivals yearly, including guest speakers, presentations, live music, food trucks, and Bigfoot-related merchandise. These have also been known to have costume contests and even the best Bigfoot howl competitions. The Chamber of Commerce in Willow Creek, California, has even hosted the Bigfoot Days Festival every year since the 1960s. The creature is no longer an elusive figure amongst the woodlands of North America, but it is now a household name. It is a sports mascot, an amusement park ride, and much more. October 20th is the anniversary of the famous Patterson-Gimlin film recording, and is now considered by many National Sasquatch Awareness Day. During the height of the 2009 pandemic, Bigfoot even became part of the North American social distancing campaign, with the creature being jokingly crowned the social distancing champion. The change of the tone towards Bigfoot in the mainstream media didn't happen recently, as the beast has had a slightly misunderstood, gentle vibe about him for many years now. It was in the 1980s that he had begun to be associated with environmentalism, not to mention his comedic turn in the 1987 film Harry and the Hendersons, and the stories of Bigfoot don't seem to be slowing down, with hundreds of videos on YouTube and numerous documentaries. In 2017, the Hollywood film Son of Bigfoot was released. And in 2018, so was a film named Smallfoot, both playing on the more child-friendly, kind iteration of the cryptid. In 2021, Representative Justin Humphrey proposed an official Bigfoot hunting season in Oklahoma, offering a $3 million bounty if the creature was captured alive and unharmed. However, something tells me that this creature will remain a mystery for many more years. Whether you believe in Bigfoot's legitimacy and genuine existence doesn't change what it represents, a desire to understand the more elusive parts of our natural world. An understanding that no matter how much we know, there is still so much more to find. Whether up the white mountaintops, down in the deep blue sea, or watching us through the forest greenery, we must acknowledge that there are thousands of many mysteries that are still yet to be discovered.
Urban Legends is researched, written, and produced by Luke Mordew. Original score by Billy Jupp, with additional sounds from Storyblocks.com. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, Click subscribe on your chosen podcast provider and delve into the mysteries of our previous and future chapters. To find more, including merchandise, video content, images, and more, visit urbanlegendsfolklore.com. If you have more information or a correction on something mentioned in this chapter, please get in touch through our website. We aim to ensure that all information provided is accurate and up to date, and this remains a top priority. If you want to support the show, receive early access, and have more of a say in what we do, then become a patron by clicking the link in our show notes. For these chapters in video format, simply search Urban Legends Folklore on YouTube. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads, and join our Facebook group by searching Urban Legends Folklore.